Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Hello, welcome to our program. This week we're very happy to have with us Leonardo De Filippis, actor, who has devoted the greater part of his professional career to bringing the Gospels to life, the lives of the saints to us, and is in Colorado Springs today to do his one-man show, Vianney. Beautiful insight into the life and the meaning of St. John Vianney, the Curé of Ars, really for the whole church, but in particular for priests. So welcome, Leonardo. Thank you for being with us. You've had a long career as an actor. I want to point that out. This is, you are a pro, and you've been at this for a while. But you started off studying Shakespeare, is that correct?
That is correct, Bishop. I was in many Shakespeare festivals around the United States. I was in Colorado Shakespeare Festival. I was in Old Globe Theater in San Diego and Oregon Shakespeare Festival, so I have to name a few. But I basically was on a pursuit to be a classical actor. I loved the classics. And then to head towards New York and L.A., et cetera. And then I had a conversion back to the faith. And then I started out with a priest, actually, that in fact inspired me to, he said, why don't you do something for this family conference? And I created my first show on the Gospel of Luke, the first six chapters, called The Gift of Peace. And then from then on, I started to travel around the United States.
Are all of your shows one-man shows?
They're all one-man shows.
Yeah.
Every one of them. So I couldn't get many actors to do something that was so religious, you know. So that's why I pursued this kind of unique apostolate.
You mentioned you had a conversion experience.
Yes.
What was that?
Well, I think in the theater world and in Hollywood, as we all know, really, you just have to go see a magazine at the supermarket to find out what's happening. It's a very volatile lifestyle, kind of morally vacant in many ways. And so I was living in that milieu, that climate, that atmosphere, and getting caught up with that. And so it was through a series of events that happened to me. And the main event was that I met a young woman who had a heroin addiction, and I got I wanted to help her. And so through the course of this whole trying to help her, I eventually said, through all the normal social means, I couldn't help her because it's hard to break an addiction. And so I finally decided to maybe I should pray for her. And I hadn't been going to church. I'd kind of left the faith because of the culture I was in at that time. And then that brought me, that prayer, which happened to be the rosary, brought me back to the church, back to the sacraments. And then I was then thinking of the priesthood, thinking I was maybe called to the priesthood. Uh-huh. But little did I know that a priest was asking me to play Jesus in a different way.
Oh, in the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah, in the Gospel of Luke. And then from then on, I started doing the Gospels and the lives of the saints.
And you've done what? St. Francis of Assisi, Maximilian Kolbe.
Maximilian Kolbe, St. Augustine, the Confessions of Augustine, St. John of the Cross. I did it for the 400th anniversary of his death for the Carmelites. And we did St. Therese. I produced a whole play and a movie on the life of St. Therese. We did Song of Songs. We do that for, did that for many years for marriage, preparation and for monasteries and religious orders. And we've done, I know I'm missing something here, and then eventually we brought our new show on St. John Vianney.
So you're devoting your life exclusively now to bringing the saints to life, bringing the Gospels to life, and you're not involved in, I guess, what we call the secular media.
I don't do secular art, in a sense. I do religious imagery, so to speak, which is dramatic or in film. And it's been a way of really bringing, first of all, I think it's bringing to our Catholic people a renewal of the Catholic culture, which we've kind of lost a sense of who are these saints. We don't know them. We have no, and the same with the Gospels. We don't know the Gospels or the Scriptures that well.
I'm sure many of your peers in the entertainment industry would be skeptical as to whether religious plays, so-called religious plays, would even draw an audience. or have any particular effect on people.
Exactly, and I think they don't know because they have no encounter with religious stories, the dramatic people that they are, the heroic figures that saints are. And I think it's pure ignorance, really. Most of us in those worlds that say have no idea of the church, they have a sense of history, no sense of the culture of the past. And how, particularly what I found by doing the saints and Christ himself, of course, it changed those people, changed the course of history. Oh, yeah. They have huge impact on nations and cultures and art and literature.
So did you have found that this has had a positive effect and people really do want to know about the saints?
They do, and I found that the audience has grown. For maybe different reasons, different saints have drawn different kinds of audiences. You know, it's been, and it's, so I find that there is a great interest. And when some actors do come, they're quite surprised. You know, my peers, they, you know, that there is such a, you know, that there is such a power to it, because these are very more life-changing experiences than doing some of the other drama that we would have it that's just pure entertainment, or the movie culture that we have today that's kind of in one ear and out the other.
Right. Now, your latest and current project, as we said, is entitled Vianney, a one-man presentation of the life, the spirituality, the struggles, the growth to sainthood of St. John Vianney, known as the Curé of Ars. And, of course, he has a very prominent place in this year for priests. He's the patron of priests. How did you come about developing this particular production?
Well, I've known of him all my life, but I didn't, like most of when you grow up, you don't know the saints that well, unless someone talks to you. But I was asked to be in a movie years ago, and that never came to be because of the immense money that has to happen. So what happened was I eventually read all his works. The one Trochu book to get an idea of his life. I was fascinated by him. But at the same time, I was producing and creating the play and the drama and the film on St. Thérèse of Lisieux. So that consumed my time. But in the back of my heart, my mind, I always wanted to do something on John Vianney. So then after Thérèse ended, which took me a long time, then I started creating a whole movement for Vianney. And I realized as I did it that the majority of the people in the church itself did not know who he was. And I found that many priests didn't really know his life. There was no connection like a Franciscan would be with Francis. Mm-hmm. So then I said, well, I have to create a campaign, like a PR campaign for John Vianney in the church itself before I launch out into the wider culture. And so that's what I did. I started to research, and after each play, I would do a little scene to do a sampling of how many people in the audience, in the church, in the diocese knew of him. And so I started going forward, creating this whole drama and movement. I called it the Vianney movement at that time. And then the Holy Father came into play and decided, and I know it was a last-minute thing for most people in the church. They said he gives us only 2.5 months' notice.
Right.
And boom, he says it's going to be the year of the priesthood.
But you beat the Pope to the punch.
I beat him. He called me and asked me permission. But anyway, I thought it was I knew he would do something because John the 23rd did something in 1959. So for the 100th anniversary,
yes.
He really loved him and did a great encyclical on him. So I didn't know what Benedict would do, but the Holy Father did indeed do, I think, a marvelous thing in honoring the 150th anniversary of the death of the Curé of Ars.
And you know, I know what you mean when you say that that even priests, diocese parish priests in particular,
right?
I have to step into that category. I knew who he was.
Right.
I knew generally the events of his life. Of course, I think we all knew the struggles that he had, even making it through the seminary. That was always a great inspiration to us in the seminary, that if John Vianney could make it, we could make it. But
but
you're right. And I, as you know, I had the great privilege of seeing this production, so it'll be the second time for me, and I'm looking forward to it. When you, not exactly previewed it, but you brought the show to the meeting of the Conference of Bishops.
Yes.
And I saw it then, and I have to say that was an important moment for me. And it moved me to go back now and learn more about John Vianney and to read more of his own thoughts, his own words. And it's been a remarkable experience. It's not over yet. I think it's something that will continue. But I really do appreciate what you've done, and I think in the long run it's going to make a great difference in the lives of priests and of seminarians, and I hope of many, many Catholics who come to see the show. It's already, well, you're the one that can tell us, it's already had some remarkable effects just as you move around doing it, right?
Oh, yes. I think first of all, I wanted to do it for the bishops because he's your patron, and he's so important to your whole history and past and your formation. And so that I wanted to create a relationship to you. As you just mentioned, you start to, after you see it, maybe you start to fall in love with someone, not something, meaning the book or past stories or something. Mm-hmm. And the same I found with priests. As we do it for priests, many of them haven't known him, or some are falling in love with him, or some have a great devotion to him. But the main thing there was, as many priests have told me, to evangelize their own selves, to evangelize the priests. As you said, you're never done. So it's a reconversion, I guess, of the priests themselves to see the model priest, the patron of all priests. Mm-hmm. And then with the seminarians, what has happened for me there is it gives them hope and a sense of the dignity and integrity of the priesthood. It's a value as a vocation, but the joy that needs to be there in order to persevere in through the cross, because it is a cross. It's not a career.
No.
You're not going to get, so to speak, if you're thinking of it that way, to get material well-being and comfort, you're going to embrace the cross and resistance. And so that's why it's been wonderful to go to different seminarians. But then we've done the religious for them to realize the importance of the priesthood, that the women religious, men religious, again, it comes, their vocation comes from the hands of the priest. Mm-hmm. When they're children, etc. But the biggest impact I've found has been through the laity, where families, mothers and fathers are weeping, reacting, wanting to pray for their priests more, having greater appreciation for the priesthood through the lens or eyes of the heart of John Vianney. But lastly, the thing is the youth. They are loving the show, which is attracting young men, some older men who are thinking of vocations. But the girl, what attracts me so much to this is the young teenage girls who are being attracted to Vianney in a deep way.
And then that is very interesting.
And when I think about it, when they start weeping or they're coming up to me all the time, and here I am, this ugly old priest looking, and they're coming up to me being very vulnerable, very humble, and what I see in their eyes is that when they grow up, and most of them are going to get married, but when they get married and have children, what's going to happen is they're going to have a great love for the priesthood in their family so that they will nurture a culture, because that's where the priests are going to come from. Yeah. They're going to come from a good father and a good mother who are open to the priesthood, as you look at all these great saints like John Marie Vianney, yeah. He had a great mother. Yes. And his mother was the one who wanted
that's to. That's right. You've had the opportunity to do the show in a number of seminaries, right? Just for seminarians.
Oh, yes. We've been to some major seminaries, Mount St. Mary's, to Mundelein, to Brooklyn, to Buffalo.
Denver?
We haven't done it at Denver, but I wish we could. I'd love to go there.
Just up the road.
But that's an important thing as each bishop and as each priest sees the value of this for their diocese, then we can return and try to do that.
Well, hopefully, this will continue beyond the year for priests. Yeah,
I think so. I believe this is merely a precursor. And as I go, and hopefully I'll be able to perform for the Pope, but in order to talk to him about that now we're going into what we call the year of the elevation. Now, he's going to be declared, I guess, finalized here at the end of the year of the priesthood as the patron saint of all priests throughout the world.
Not just parish priests.
And then when you reflect upon that in the Catholic message.
Hold that thought, Leonardo. We're going to have to take a short break, and I want to come back and we'll talk some more about this great show, Vianney.
Okay.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
We are back visiting with Leonardo DeFilippis, who for the greater part of this past year, at least since last October, the Feast of St. John Vianney, you have been traveling around the country with the one-man play that you put together and you star in, called Vianney, the story of the Curé of Ars, who is really a star of this year for priests, the patron. The patron of priests, and we were talking before the break about some of the reactions that you've had in putting on the show. One I was particularly intrigued by, you had mentioned that that young girls are particularly moved by this show, and that's intriguing to me. Tell us more about that.
Well, what we're finding is when you connect things with the priesthood. The priesthood affects all of us. And so we don't necessarily, we think of just the priests. This is the year of the priesthood, but the year of the priesthood is for everybody. That's what I'm coming to realize through the heart of John Vianney. And so in this case that you mentioned, I'm finding more and more teenage girls being very excited, as are the youth, teenagers, and younger kids who are really watching this. And the teenage girls are 16, 17, 15, 14, that old age group, are identifying with the show. They're seeing St. Philomena in the play. They're seeing this battle with the devil. And so they're being tempted, I think, just like young people are being tempted too. So they're relating to that. And they're relating to this underdog story. But at the same time, as this John Vianney grows older, he's kind of like a grandfather type, they fall in love with him. They trust him. And something moves them deeply. And so I've encountered many tears after they come up to me, start crying, very touched. And when I look into their heart, as best I can, I'm not John Vianney, the real guy, read their heart, but I see in them that they're going to grow up with a greater love for the priesthood in their family when they grow up and get married and have children. And that is going to be the key center for the renewal of the church.
That's great.
And so I think that, and especially those mothers maybe who are out there, who are pregnant, having children, they're seeing too that I want to create a culture for positivity towards the priesthood in my family, for my children. And there's a desire for that.
This play has had a great effect on audiences. What effects has it had on you personally, your own spiritual life, your own piety?
Well, I think for me, it's made me have obviously a greater appreciation for the priesthood. It's made me try to live inside, so to speak. I'm reading all these books on the priesthood all the time now. That's my side reading. But I think it's helped me have a more devotional life. He was such a devotional priest. I've tried to take on, when you do a saint, you try to take on his charisms. So I'm trying to pray some of the things that he prayed, read some of the things he read, in order to. And also, I think it's given me a key insight into realizing the importance of the priesthood. His famous line was, if a priest truly knew what it meant to be one, he would die out of love. And as I reflect and I live his life in this way through the drama, I realize that for me, the key to Christianity is through the priesthood. All of us, lay people, children, everyone, even the priest himself, has to see it through the eyes of the priesthood, because the priesthood truly is Jesus Christ in persona Christi. And sometimes we forget that. and that we've in our past revolution or social revolution or the seeds of the diabolical insidious distractions was to think that we could be a priestless religion, but we cannot. Because you take Christ out of Christianity, there's nothing. And so it's really helped me have a greater appreciation for the priesthood, and so I end up finding myself praying more in this way for priests, because praying for priests is also going to help all of us. Yeah. It's more unity.
Yeah. You know, even though this man, lived more than a century ago, and it's easy to relegate him to just, one of those little characters of the past. He wasn't particularly glamorous in this little backwater village in France. But let me tell you, for me, let me say a few things, because I think for me, and I hope for many priests, St. John Vianney and seeing him in your play helps us to see again, maybe sometimes for the first time, what is really the essence of the priestly ministry. I think over these last almost 40 years that I've been ordained, we've seen so many attempts at kind of redefining what a priest is. I mean, making him a CEO of a corporation or some HR guy who goes out and hires everybody else to do the work. What John Vianney shows me is that at the heart of it all is the Eucharist, the sacrament of penance, which he devoted his life to both of them, and the remarkable number of hours he said to have spent hearing confessions, and literally converted that whole area of France.
Yes.
And I sometimes think, I sometimes think we could get rid of all of our clubs and our organizations and our councils and just give ourselves to that, and the world would change.
I absolutely believe with you. I think the heart of John Vianney is the Eucharist. And as you saw in the play yourself, and if anyone is listening, anyone who's read his life, but those who don't know, is that he would constantly go to the Eucharist in his early priesthood to help convert his parish, weeping before the Eucharist, praying, pleading to God for all the sinners, for the conversion of his parish, basically. He couldn't change the world. He was just a little ignorant country priest, as he would say. Mm-hmm. He just tried to do what his responsibility was, his parishioners. And as he went in that mode, he eventually, because he was totally attached to the Eucharist, he starts to convert everyone. And you're right. It sometimes comes down to that. And I think I've met many vocation directors now who are saying, you know what, we have all these programs and we do this, but now what we're doing is we're going just adoration. I, the priest, am sitting before Jesus and asking me, who is it? Tell me which ones are the ones in the pews or the ones I meet in an airplane or whatever that you're calling to the priesthood. Tell me even what they look like. Help me. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing the very simple, so to speak, meat and potatoes of our faith. And I think that's what John Vianney did. He was able to do that. And of course, through confession, which I think is the new evangelization, really, to help us bring that peace back to our souls.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that the situation of 21st century America or 21st century Western world is exactly what it was in post-revolutionary France. But, our secular culture, the secular culture that was created by the revolution in France, they're not totally dissimilar.
No.
And I know that priests can become discouraged. They look around, they see a world that's not particularly, well, not only not interested in the gospel, sometimes actually hostile to the gospel, and we can feel intimidated. And then you look at someone like John Vianney, who walked into a situation when he went to that little parish in Ars, it was a mess. Nobody was practicing the faith that well.
Well, I think you probably don't remember this, but the first line of the play is in darkness, and you'll hear the voice of John Vianney, and he says a famous line of his. He says, "My children, let us always be ready for the combat." And so then you're going to see a battle between sin and grace, good and evil, you know, the devil and God. And I think that's where people can get discouraged, not just the priests, but all of us lay people, is that you think the powers of evil are so overwhelming that that we'll never succeed. And we get discouraged because people they're not interested in the faith, just as they were at ours. Mm-hmm. But I think John Vianney had a special knowledge of the understanding of the presence of Satan. And I think this is a key thing. It's very much important to promote the presence of the knowledge, the presence of the evil one, because when you do, you expose him. And you start to see things in light, because we've seen this during the year of the priesthood. You talk a lot of priests. How's your year of the priesthood going? It's a tough year. They're getting a lot of attacks. Sure. And even the church itself and the media is getting attacked by the evil one to go after everything. In fact, some people think that the year of the priesthood was declared by the Pope to hide the scandals. And of course that's not true.
No.
We don't work that way. We're a family organization through celebrations of anniversaries of births and deaths, yeah, etc. So I think you're right. I think post-revolution French Revolution is still happening today, where there's a kind of a glorification of what you might say reason. You know, that intelligence, that my own self can, you know, government, right, and power can solve everything. But we, in the end, what John Vianney exposes is that it's faith. It really is. It's the real presence of Jesus and the real presence of evil, to have the knowledge of both to go forward.
And John Vianney battled quite personally the devil.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what's been another thing I've learned is really the presence of the evil one. And I haven't had the encounters, obviously, that he's had, but you do get them, and I'm sure you've had those too. But John Vianney is more an exemplary example of the battle between the real presence of evil that attacked him for decades, which is hard to imagine for us to conceive. And I think for the priest who experiences the show, for him, it's, wow, this is a battle. And for the laity, most laity who see this are not aware of the devil. They haven't thought about it too much.
Oh, I don't think we think
of
about the devil much at all.
Exactly.
And I think that's that's not a safe place to be for
it. It is not. It's not. No. And I think once you know, I think it was Paul the VI, you know, good doesn't exist without evil. Uh-huh. Because that's how we understand. You teach a child, don't put your hands into the fire. You got to teach them that. Right. Sometimes they get burned. And it's the same with sin. We have to be aware we don't want to go there. And I think that's where John Vianney is an exemplary. You know, I mean, and the question is, what is the priesthood? What is a priest? Mm-hmm. And I think for what I found is it's that outpouring of self, like the Sacred Heart as a symbol, the pouring of your heart out for others, which is the heart of God.
And I think we priests have to rediscover that. I think Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict now are doing wonderful things to help us understand again the essence, the heart of the of the priesthood, and certainly if we can turn more to St. John Vianney, we're going to learn quite a bit about that. You've mentioned some of the experiences you've had doing the show around the country. Anything other particular come to your mind about
some of the things that have happened, Bishop, that are very interesting? Say, just take priests. I've had priests break down in front of me. They come up and they just would weep because they were so deeply moved. Others, I remember seeing an older priest who was around the age of John Vianney, no more near retirement, you know, and just sitting there after the show, sitting in an empty church, not wanting to leave, and just wanting some time to reflect. I've had priests who have gone to confession after seeing the show because it convicted them, moved them to say, you know, I need to go to confession too. You know, so that's been a very moving experience for me to see priests react that way. Or it encourages them in their vocation and said, thank God I became a priest. Or seminarians on the verge of thinking they should leave the seminary, and then seeing the show and saying, I want to be a priest. And you see it in their eyes with this conviction. Or their relationship to St. Philomena, they see this beautiful young woman, young girl, I mean, that he had a devotion to, and that encourages them in their vocation. And then I see that with the fathers and mothers, a great love for John Vianney. Or as you mentioned, we were just discussing, John Vianney was known for what he would call catching big fish. Yeah. And the more the devil attacked, the more problems he had in daily life, he saw that as a sign that the devil was trying to stop a sinner coming to the village to see him. And so that happens in our show sometimes. Some people, we pray, God, we offer up, please help some fish out there in the audience that comes. Yeah. And that's happened. We've had I was mentioning a man who had, he said, I was so angry at the church, I couldn't forgive. With myself, and then he had a breakdown of reconciliation, or a woman who came and she had many troubles.
We're going to take another quick break. It's clear that God is using you as an instrument, and that's wonderful. So we'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
It started like it does for many people. I question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Leonardo De Filippis, who is here in Colorado Springs to present here at Holy Apostles Church his one-man show, Vianney, the story of St. John Vianney, the Curé of Ars. And you were mentioning earlier, Leonardo, that you're going to be doing this show, or you hope to do this show for the Holy Father?
Yes, we are. There's a plan. There's a number of bishops and cardinals trying to help us to get to the Vatican to do a special performance for the Holy Father in person. And then to also do it actually for North American College and a couple places, and also to do it for, there's a movement to have it done for all the baby bishops around the world where they're trained.
Oh, that's right. They have
in Rome.
The annual
there's
meeting.
That, yes, the annual meeting. So there's about four different things that they're all trying to dovetail with. And so the reason we're trying to do that, Bishop, is in order to bring more attention personally to John Vianney himself. Because I think what the play does is help us give it a more incarnational experience of that he was a human being.
Right.
He was one of us. And so if that were to happen and we go to Rome, then we could have international attention. And my prayer is that then it could go into other languages. So we could do it in French. We could do it in Spanish. We could do it in the other languages. Because there's a crying out. People are now asking us. We had Singapore. When we did the Year of the Priest, when it was just declared, we had Singapore, the Philippines, other places, because this is the only thing like it in the whole world. And so they're wanting something. They're desiring John Vianney. And I'm thinking, I can't do this all unless I can locate or something. I'm not Padre Pio, you know. So then I thought we should find other actors and create a movement. And then all the dioceses and bishops and priests could utilize these things for their diocese internationally. And it could be a thing that, and if the Pope were to hook into the vision of John Vianney in this way, it would be just in its own little way an assistance, and I think it would help attract more and more vocations.
Mm-hmm. You were telling me that when you did the play, was it in Phoenix, and you had a largely Hispanic audience, they really didn't know anything about St. John Vianney.
No, the Spanish-speaking culture really doesn't know who he is, and it was a priest from Mexico working in the Diocese of Phoenix who was so excited about this that he showed the you know, we have that kind of video clip trailer about the play, and he had it shown in church, and they all stood up and clapped. And then he told them, he says, "You may not know all the English, you know enough to come to the play." And they all came. We had like 700 Spanish-speaking people there at the mm-hmm. performance, and they were just in love. And of course, they didn't realize that I wasn't a real priest. And in that culture, they're kissing my hand, oh. they're touching me and everything. Right. And so I saw that this is very important if we could do it for the Spanish people, because I think it would give them a deep insight into the priesthood and would help their culture, and as it would many other cultures.
Would you be able to do those other languages? You'd have to get it out some other actors.
Huh? Well, I think I need to have Pentecost come real quick on me. the dove needs to come quickly. No, I would probably have to train other actors. Spanish is a world where you have to have different translations, dialects, etc. So to get a good language. But I know for the French, we've been asked, this would be wonderful to go to Quebec, to Canada, to go to France itself. And the Filipino bishops want me to come. It's just a matter of all the complications. You know, I could do it in English, of course, there. But it just shows me there's a hunger out there. And we're not, you know, we, the church, the human side, maybe we're not tapping into the vision as we should. The divine side, I can see, is that, you know, if we just hold on to the coattails of John Vianney as the patron saint of all priests throughout the whole world and history, that this could be a key thing, I think, for at least one facet of the renewal of the church.
Absolutely. I think some of your earlier plays, your depictions of other saints, have been put to video, right? Tape or video?
Yes, we've done John of the Cross on a film and video. We've done Maximilian Kolbe, who is a very dramatic story, beautiful, beautiful priest.
Oh, yes.
He's also a great model for the priesthood for our new millennium and our troubled times. And then I've done the Gospels, of course, some of them. We did the movie Therese. That was probably
that was a theatrical release.
That was a theatrical release. So we became the first. Well, it's the first one of the first nonprofit movies done. It was really done through the church in a sense. I mean, we had priests and bishops, and it was all donations, the whole thing. And we also became a Catholic distribution company at that time in order to get it into the theaters. So that was a historic event, but also very hard because of the cost that we had to incur and the sacrifices a small organization had
to make. But those videos are still available, right?
All those videos are available.
Where can people go to find
them? They can go to stlukeproductions.com. Which is our website.
St. Luke Productions.
Yeah, stlukeproductions.com. Or you can go vianidrama.com, which is our current drama. That will take you to all the different places.
Is Vianney going to be...
Vianney, I'm thinking of really doing... it would be an incredible movie. And if we did a full-length, all-out movie, starting with the French Revolution... with all the diabolical special effects with the devil, with the...
But not one man anymore. You mean
I'm talking a major motion picture.
Oh.
I think if we... What I'm doing by doing the play, person to person, to come to you, the bishop, to your people, to different dioceses, so you get to know who he is. Then if we did a movie, it become an international event, if it was done properly, and if all the churches, now with the year of the priesthood happening and the elevation... Maybe all bishops and priests, imagining if all of them got behind a religious movie that could have an international thing, and if the church were united, and if the movie were very good, if it was excellent, then it could create a stirring that it could be probably one of the biggest movies in all of Hollywood. But for the purpose, for the church, for the growth of the church and the evangelization of all people, I think that would be... I mean, we've never had a movie like that. It's a high goal, of course, but that would be my spiritual goal, that the whole church could get united in every country.
I'm with you, whatever I could do.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Oh, I would love to see it, too.
So. You were telling me earlier, I think probably during one of the breaks, that that you see this production of Vianney as contributing or being a catalyst for greater unity among the clergy in dioceses. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think as we all know, it's just like in a family. we have, your uncle here, your aunt there. Not everybody's on the same page in terms of particularly the faith. Mm-hmm. And we all have personalities. We have arguments. We have long memories. Who did this? Who did that? And I think in the priesthood, take a diocese, it's the matter of all the priests coming in unity to the bishop. And it's the relationship between the bishop and the priest. But oftentimes, just the relationship between the solidarity of the priests themselves, caring for one another, loving one another, the older priests, the younger priests, the different personalities. It's, I think, what the people are desiring to. And many priests are saying to me, when you come, to the diocese, pray for the solidarity and the unity of our priests, because sometimes our unity of priests is weak, mm-hmm. that the scandal of not loving one another, and showing that in public. And, we don't like this pastor, we don't like that pastor. The normal thing. We don't like this teacher, we don't like that politician. It becomes the same kind of thing. Yeah. And I think that if we had that unity, it would start really changing each diocese. And I think for the bishops themselves, one of John Vianney's famous lines, when all the bishops, many bishops came to confession to him, his famous line was, love your priests. And I think it's, again, what you said before, going back to the basic elements, the sacraments, and ultimately, what is the greatest one that Jesus says is love. Mm-hmm. In the heart of chapter 17, John, that it's really the love of the Trinity, because it's a family, it's a unity of persons, and that's really what the priesthood should be, so that they will kind of, so to speak, draw all of us up into the heart of the priesthood, which is the Sabbath, the day of rest with Jesus Christ in heaven forever.
Wonderful. Oh no, that's great. Your enthusiasm is contagious, and I do believe that not only the play, but the person, the saint himself, is if we ask for his intercession, I think that's going to be very powerful in helping our presbyterates, our priests, to come together.
I think so, and I think lastly, what I would say too in that regard is I think it really has to do with the cross. We can't forget the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. The heart of the priesthood, again, is the sacrifice of the Mass, the summit of our faith. And so, again, as it's said in the play so often, is the crushing weight of the cross, mm-hmm. that you must embrace it, Philomena says, from heaven to him. And I think that we can't forget that. It's not going to be easy.
That was one of the great themes of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who in so many talks, retreats for priests, he said, well, we all know we're priests. We offer the sacrifice. We forget the victim part of it.
Right.
Yeah, we have to identify with Christ, the victim.
Right.
Embrace the cross.
Right, and so that you as the priest, as the bishop, offering up all the time the needs of the people, of the sick, of the dying, of all the problems that you're having in society, whatever, it's lifting that up. I think that's what all of us have. And that's we as the people have to, at that moment when the priest is ready, at the offertory, so to speak, we want to put our intentions, so to speak, in our heart to that altar so that the priest can lift them up. And I think that's so important because we have to remember the sacrifice that it's going to take. And John Vianney, I mean, think about it. I think personally that he was the busiest person that ever lived. And it happens the busiest person that ever lived was a priest, because he never in his 41 years of priesthood had one break.
That's right.
He was, and as he got older, which is the point, would you think a priest might slow down a little bit because I'm getting tired, maybe I'd like to go for a moment for some golf or whatever the stereotypes are. Mm-hmm. He had no break. So by the end, when he's in his 60s and 70s, he's starting 12 midnight, going around the clock till 10 p.m. I mean, this man had no break.
Yeah, it can be frightening to priests, I think, to see a man who probably died because he lived his vocation so beautifully, spending,
right.
getting no sleep, not eating well, giving everything he had to his ministry. It's inspiring. It's frightening. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to take it seriously. I hope we priests really do take his example seriously.
Well, I think, again, you go back to the heart, and that's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's kind of frightening when you really think if you really saw the real body on the cross. Mm. We don't see it, the corpus sometimes. But I think the thing that it's frightening to think that we could really be crucified, like Jesus, to be flogged, to be scourged, to be spit upon. And that's a hard thing to do. And I think the saints have all suffered. But then again, a mother giving children and sacrificing, it's just amazing the sacrifices they make for their children, especially when a child is sick or handicapped, mm-hmm. that they'll do anything for that child. Those are the kind of things that, no one, when you get married, you don't think it's going to happen. Or when you get ordained as a new baby priest, you don't know what you're going to expect, what's going to happen to you.
Is this your favorite role?
I see them all as, it's hard. I love doing Christ. But I think this one has kind of hit a nerve with me. Yeah. I see its value in a broader spectrum. Right. And I don't know why, but I have a lot of enthusiasm right now. And I'm excited. I have to say, I am excited very much about the priesthood and what it can do for all of us here.
Leonardo, thank you. We're going to bring the conversation to an end to give you a little time to prepare for your performance tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Probably some things I missed the first time, but we'll do it again. And I thought we would conclude with a prayer, actually a prayer to John Vianney, asking him to intercede in particular for priests. So I'll pray that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear St. John Vianney, your childhood dream was to be a priest, to win souls for God. You endured years of toil and humiliation to attain the priesthood. You became a priest truly after God's own heart, outstanding in humility and poverty, prayer and mortification, totally devoted to the service of God's people. The Church has exalted you as model and patron saint of all priests, trusting that your example and prayers will help them to live up to the high dignity of their vocation, to be faithful servants of God's people, to be perfect imitators of Christ the Savior, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life in ransom for many. Pray that God may give to his Church today many more priests after his own heart. Pray for all the priests under your patronage, that they may be worthy representatives of Christ, the Good Shepherd. May they wholeheartedly devote themselves to prayer and penance, be examples of humility and poverty, shining models of holiness, tireless and powerful preachers of the Word of God, zealous dispensers of God's grace in the sacraments. May their loving devotion to Jesus in the Eucharist and to Mary, his mother, be the twin fountains of fruitfulness for their ministry. Amen.
Amen.
And thanks again, Leonardo. Thanks to all of our listeners for being with us. And may God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. And now we'll end today's broadcast with an excerpt from St. Luke Productions' play, Vianney.
Father Vianney, we're going in the wrong direction. This is not the way to Ars. Oh, my feet are hurting so.
What? How could this have happened? Why didn't you say something, Madame Libost?
I keep telling you, Father, but you've been going around in circles in this area for hours. You haven't heard me, and just keep praying. There's a fog everywhere. I can't make anything out.
Pardon me, madame. I always seem to get lost. But listen, I hear some shepherd. dear boy, boy, do you know the way to Oz?
Of course, Father. It is that way.
What is your name?
I am Antoine Givray.
Antoine, you have shown me the way to Oz, and I shall show you the way to heaven.
There it is. You can see it in the distance through the mist.
How small it all is.
It's just a little village, Father.
Yet, my dear friend, this parish will not be able to contain the multitude of those who shall journey hither. Let us go without delay.
Who is this?
They've sent us another one?
Let us enter the church first, madame. Why, it is in complete disrepair. The roof is leaking and the rain pours in.
What is this pile of rubble?
That was the bell tower, Father. It was destroyed during the revolution, and there's been no time to rebuild.
Well, never mind. This church is humble, which pleases me. But this decay is not worthy of you, my God. There is much work to be done. O Lord, I love you with all my heart. I am here and I am yours. Give me the grace to be a shepherd to this flock entrusted to me. Oh, monsieur, God's blessings upon you. I have finally arrived in Oz.
Ah, Father Viennese, allow me to introduce myself. I am your humble servant, the mayor of our little village of Oz. I think you will be very pleased with our little hamlet. I hope the rectory, which has been recently refurbished by our own countess, Mademoiselle Desgarais of the Chateau on the hill over there, I think you will agree that the furnishings are of the utmost good taste and...
Merci. Oh, this is a little too nice.
No, Father. It is very simple. You need all of this to present yourself as the new pastor.
How can I live in luxury when the church is falling down? Monsieur, these 6 high-back leather chairs and the armchair, covered in red and green, this large table, all these cooking utensils, this roasting dish, the spit, and the 2 beds, and this other furniture, they can all be removed. I will not need them, even though they are very, very nice.
But they are the gift of Mademoiselle Desgarais of the Chateau.
God bless her for her generosity to the parish, but tell her the new pastor will not need them. Perhaps she'd like to make a gift to replace the broken windows in the church.
Government's full of corrupt politicians.
Well, at least since the revolution, religion doesn't rule our lives. We can think for ourselves. We don't need that drivel.
Oh, look! There's a new pastor. He certainly is an odd duck.
Well, he won't last long. They never do.
You call that a priest?
The people have forgotten how to believe.
A toast to our new milk cow! You idiot!
With all the taverns in ours, we could drink till hell freezes over. Some more liquor!
Is that a priest?
How the hell would you know? You're too drunk to see.
He's at the village, idiot!
Hell is certainly awaiting them with open arms. Oh Lord, may your name be respected.
My husband's been just a lazy slob. He won't do any work and is always oversleeping. The front door has been broken for 4 months, and he just ignores me. I'm married to a numbskull. Will you children be quiet?
Shh, here comes the new priest. He isn't very impressive.
Oh, close the door.
Oh, what a welcome. My first parish. Oh, my God. I'm a poor country priest, weak and ignorant. Have you placed me among these lost sheep to save them or not? Am I to let them all sleep in false security? You have placed me in this land to be responsible for the flock. May not one lamb be lost. Let me not be afraid to speak the truth. Angels and saints, surround me with your aid.
Who has the key? Who makes ready the feast? And who serves the table? The priest. And what is the food? The precious body and blood of our Lord.
Here he comes. It's harvest time, and the last thing I can afford is a Sunday morning wasted sitting in church. But I have to admit I am curious to hear him.
His shoes are shabby.
Look at his cassock, coarse cloth.
And much worn. The bishop is insulting us by sending us such a pathetic pastor.
What an awkward fellow. Not distinguished.
Pale, gaunt.
My children, does God exist or doesn't he? If he exists, we must honor him as he requires us to honor him, or we shall be asked why in this life and in the next. Ah, my brothers and sisters, if we had the eyes of angels, when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, who is present here on the altar, and who looks at us, how we would love him. But the fact is that we do not have enough faith. We are poor blind men. In a few moments, my brethren, when I hold our Lord in my hands, ask him to open the eyes of your heart. Say, Lord, may I see thee. He is no ordinary man.
At least I would say he's sincere.
They have confessions scheduled here from 4 until 5 in the afternoon. Perhaps now I will meet my parishioners with God's forgiveness. 1 hour. No one, not a soul. I suppose this means I am in a village of angels. Well, if they won't come to me, I will go to them. Every one of them. One family at a time. And Lord, I will bring them back to your house.
Who's there?
Why, it's the new priest.
What? What does he want?
Hello, Father. Welcome. Come in. We were just about to eat. Won't you share our meal?
Thank you, but I'll only be a minute. I just wanted to introduce myself. I had plenty to eat at the rectory. How goes the farm, Monsieur Sotre?
Very well, Father. We have gotten 2 more cows, and the grapes this year have been abundant.
I notice that it keeps you working hard every day.
Oh, no problem. Work is always demanding. It is difficult to have to work every day, even on Sunday, but work must be done. You know the old saying, no rest for the wicked.
I see. And you, Madame Sotre, I see you have 3 strong and strapping boys.
Oh, yes, Father. And they are bright as well.
I am sure God has blessed them abundantly. God's graces always bring wisdom. Have all these lads received Holy Communion?
No, Father. After the revolution, we have had little contact with such things.
Monsieur Magnon, what a lovely estate. You must have worked very hard for this great property.
Oh, indeed. I am very proud of it. My father worked hard, my grandfather worked hard, and that is the lesson of life. That is why we have plenty of wine in storage, to keep my mind alert and well. Come now, Father. Have a toast with us for your new arrival. My son and daughter-in-law will join us.
No, thank you. I still have many visits, and then I return to church. Your son and daughter-in-law are such a beautiful couple. What a joyful occasion their wedding day must have been for you and Madame.
Well, Father, kind of. Exactly. Well, indeed, they were not exactly ever married. It doesn't seem all that important these days. Youth!
I see. I will pray for them. God bless your family. I must be going. You have been most wonderfully hospitable to me, your new pastor. O God, grant me the conversion of my parish. I am willing to suffer all my life, whatsoever it may please thee to lay upon me. Only let my people be converted.
You've been listening to an excerpt of Vianney, a new play on the life of St. John Vianney by St. Luke Productions. An audio CD of the full performance is available for purchase by going to www.vnadrama.com or by calling 1-800-683-2998. Once again, that's www.vnadrama.com or by calling 1-800-683-2998. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.